listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, welcome to Calvary Christian Assembly. My name is Tim Wicks. I'm the senior associate pastor here, and I get to speak this morning because Pastor Steve is teaching at a marriage conference, which is really good. So I am excited to be with you this morning. Leilani, great job. That was nice. I liked it. I usually am in Leilani's place, not at the piano. For those of you who are guests, I usually am leading music, but I play the guitar, and it is really a privilege to have so many good musicians at Calvary here. And I don't know if you recognize that, because a lot of times if you're not a musician, you don't necessarily recognize the quality of musicians that we have, but we have some really good musicians. And so for those of you who are involved in our music and production department, thank you, because it makes our time of praise and worship through music so good. And I love that this morning. I bet you are wondering about the umbrella video, which I told you I'm going to talk about a little bit later. I've got one right here with me. It's all kinds of bright colors. But I'm going to make you wait some more. What I will tell you is that today we're talking about cause and effect, and especially how that relates to the Israelites during the time of the judges. We'll see how the choices of Israel directly impacted their relationship with God, both positively and negatively. And then I'm going to tie it up all together with a very powerful story told by Jesus himself. And I want you to go away today remembering that, like the Israelites, you have a choice. A choice to be obedient to Christ or not to be obedient to Christ. But that no matter what, there is nothing that can separate you from his love. Nothing that will cause him to break his side of his covenant that he has made. So onward and forward, are you ready? For those of you who are just joining us, we've been taking another journey through the Bible this year, and specifically we're going through the Bible chronologically with this Bible, the Daily Bible. If you want to join us, these are available at the information kiosk. You can buy one out there and pick that up and follow along. We are in the place that's talking about the judges. And I want you to pull out your Bible, either the one that you've brought with you. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. Many of you have the Bible on your device. You can feel more than free to use that. I'll be using the NIV translation. And for those of you that are tech savvy, I want you to feel free to use it today. Okay? Feel free to use your phone or your device today. I want you to use it to take notes. I often take notes on my phone because then I have the notes wherever I go, which is pretty cool. In addition, if you hear something that you like from something that's talked about today or something that happened in our music time or something that happens at the end of the service, feel free to tweet it, to snap it, post it on Facebook or Instagram while I'm speaking. We're going to let other people be involved in our church service this morning. Does that sound good? Everybody's like, oh, what are you doing? Okay. You're free to use it. Pastor Steve just wrapped up a series on the Ten Commandments. We're just jumping into the book of Judges. As we look forward to this week and what we'll be reading through the book of Judges, which means that we have skipped a little bit of Joshua. So I want to give you a brief overview of what happens with Joshua. Joshua was Moses' protege. He was his understudy. Is that right? Protege? Is that the right word? I think it is. You know how when you're saying something and all of a sudden it sounds funny? That just happened. Moses has been teaching Joshua all of the ropes. Joshua has been has been with Moses. He's held up his arms, and Moses has then handed the reins to Joshua. And in that exchange, Moses says to Joshua, hey, listen, you're going to need to be strong and courageous as you lead these people. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, don't worry, be strong and courageous as you lead these people, as you go in to this land that I've promised you. And Joshua then turns to the people and says, hey, we're going into this land. Be strong and courageous. It's one of the things that we talked about in our small group on Wednesday night, is this idea of what it means to be strong and courageous and what courage is. But there's something that we find in Joshua that really ties into the book of Judges. And as the people of Israel are beginning to move into the promised land, Joshua brings them all together and he says this, listen, we're going into this new land. And you need to choose today who you will serve. Whether the gods that are in the land that we are about to go into, or the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knew about cause and effect, because God had passed it down to Moses, and Moses had passed it down to Joshua. There's an important thing that God had said, if you be obedient to me, I will go with you. If you be obedient to me. And so this is where we pick up. We pick up in the book of Judges as Joshua has just passed on and the people of Israel are now learning what it means to habitate in this land that God has given them. In Judges chapter 2, it says this, then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors who had been obedient to the Lord's commands. And whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, their people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. And then in Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which had been given their ancestors through Moses. So the Israelites lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. Let me give you a little history. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had settled peacefully in the land of Canaan. Now, as the story goes, the family is forced to move to Egypt because of the great famine, where they were eventually forced into slavery. And God delivers Israel from Egypt and brings them back to their land, which has now been overtaken by other tribes. And interestingly, part of this land is like extended family. Why is that? Well, just as the Israelites were descendants of Jacob, who was also called Israelites, and of his father Isaac, and of his father Abraham, so some of the tribes now living in Canaan were descendants of Ishmael. Ishmael is the other son of Abraham, born to Sarah's servant. See, Abraham had been given a promise by God. God had said, I will make you a great nation. Your descendants will be like the sands of the sea. But Abraham and Sarah were old. And it was years and years, and the promise had not yet been fulfilled. And so Sarah comes to Abraham and says, hey, this is not working. We got to do something about this. I've got a great idea. Why don't you sleep with my servant and we'll fix it that way? Is that a great idea? No. So Abraham does. Abraham sleeps with Sarah's servant. And a child is born, and his name is Ishmael. Well, then God fulfills his side of the promise, and Sarah has a son named Isaac. So Abraham has two sons, one born of the promise and one that is not. And because of jealousy, Sarah kicks Ishmael and his mother out of the camp, and they are forced to wander. They're the other side of the family. The illegitimate side, as some people would say. And they then become a difficult part of Abraham's life. And the cause and effect of that now is trickling down through generations. Because if Abraham and Sarah had trusted God and his promise, then some of these people now living in Canaan would not be there. Isn't that interesting? But hindsight is 20/20, isn't it? And sometimes we inherit the mess of the families we come from. Sometimes we inherit the mess of the families we come from. A few years ago, when we were living in Olympia, I had a ton of stomach problems. And they were driving me crazy, and I went to the doctor, and there were some people who had said, hey, listen, you know, a glass of wine like before bed will probably help your stomach settle. And so I went to the doctor, and we're talking about what's going on with my stomach, and I said, hey, listen, doc, I've had some people say, why don't you try a glass of wine to help your stomach settle? And the doctor said some interesting things. He asked me some questions. Do you have alcoholism that runs in your family? And I said, well, actually, I do. Not my parents, but from some of my grandparents and further back. He said, you want to know what? I would not mess with it. I wouldn't mess with it. Because some of those things are, some of those addictions get passed down, and we're learning more and more about alcohol and how dangerous it can be. And he said, you know, because of your family history, I would not follow that advice. Why? Because some things we inherit from our families. And we have to work through those things. There's some symbolism as well involved in these stories in the book of Judges. First of all, it's this, that our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and authorities in heavenly places. If you go back to Judges chapter 3, it said that God did some of these things to teach warfare to the descendants of Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. There's symbolism in that. There's symbolism in that, that it wasn't just a physical battle that these people were fighting, but there was a spiritual side to it as well. And sometimes, in our very scientific culture, we forget that, don't we? There is a very real world that we cannot see, a spiritual world that is fighting for us. And we would be good to be aware of that. Symbolism. If we don't allow God to completely remove our areas of disobedience, they will continue to be a problem for us. That's a big one. If we just let these things linger because, I don't know if I really want to get rid of that. I might want it later. That thing will stay, and it'll dig deeper, and we'll have to deal with more problems that come from it in the future. And here's the thing. God will use uncomfortable situations to compel us to turn to Him. Have you noticed that? God will use uncomfortable situations to compel us to turn to Him. I love this illustration. I might have shared this before. Livy, my wife, came to me one time. She said, you know, I'm really going to start praying for patience. Have I shared this before? I'm really going to start praying for patience. And did God give her patience? Well, no. He gave opportunities to learn patience. Right? Because unless the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, we will never change. Unless the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, we will never change. And I love the introduction in here from March 17th. You'll read this, where it says, spiritually, there is still a great lesson for a new generation of Israelites to learn. Namely, that with obedience comes prosperity. With disobedience, adversity. Cause and effect. And so we move into the stories of the judges. And in this next week, you'll read about four different people. You'll read about Othniel. And it doesn't say much about Othniel. Othniel delivers the people from the hand of some of their enemies. That's kind of all of it says. It talks about Shamgar, and it just says a little bit about Shamgar as well. But then it talks about these two other people, the first being Ehud. That's a great name, isn't it? Ehud. The people had turned to doing other things, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and so God gave them over to King Eglon, another great name. And they're under the control of King Eglon, and they're having to bring tribute to King Eglon, and God raises up a judge, a rescuer, a redeemer. And Ehud goes with the party to take the tribute to King Eglon, and they deliver the tribute, and then they leave. And as they're going past these statues going out of the palace there, Ehud turns around and goes back to the king and says, King, I have a message for you. And the king says, all right, everybody go ahead and go out. I got to hear this message. And Ehud, it says he's a left-handed man. Now, that's really important. You want to know why that's important? Because back in that time, the right hand was your fighting hand. So if you were to go into someone's presence and you were to like reach into your cloak with your right hand, people would be on their guard because this is your fighting hand. You never know what they're going to pull out. Ehud's a left-handed man. He goes into the king and says, I have a message for you. And he reaches into his cloak with his left hand, which would not have alarmed King Eglon. And he pulls out a sword and stabs him in the belly. Eglon was a very large individual. In fact, so large that this short sword that Ehud had on his leg stabbed into his belly, and it says that the fat closed over it. That's disgusting. Ehud closes the doors, locks them up, climbs out the window, and escapes. He goes and gets the armies of Israel, and they drive out the forces of King Eglon. And then during the time of Ehud, there is peace, and God is with them until the time that Ehud dies. But then what happens? They do evil in the sight of the Lord again. Time goes by, and I think Shamgar is the next, and then they're following the Lord, and when Shamgar dies, they do evil in the sight of the Lord again, and then God raises up another judge, a woman. Amen. Her name is Deborah. And she goes to the leader of Israel's army and says, hey, God's going to give you the victory over these people. And the leader of Israel's army says, well, can't you go with us? She says, fine, I'll go with you. And they defeat the armies. Sisera is the name of the general that they're fighting. And they completely wipe out these armies, and they gain their freedom. And Sisera takes off from his chariot and goes by foot and runs into this encampment of people and goes into this tent of a woman named Jael. and says to Jael, hey, hide me. People are looking for me. Hide me in here, and if they come looking, say that there's no one here. She's like, sure, yeah, whatever. Crazy guy here. He says, I'm thirsty. Will you give me something? She gives him some milk, and he falls asleep. And while he's asleep, she takes a tent peg, drives it through his temple into the ground. Also disgusting. But I'm going to tell you, when I was in junior high, my favorite stories. She drives it into the ground and leaves it there. And then when Israel's armies come, she says, hey, I think I've got the guy that you're looking for. And leads him into the tent, and there he is. God gave victory to the Israelites through some women. And during the time of Deborah, there is peace, and God is with them. Until again, they do evil in the eyes of the Lord. And here's the points I want to make today. First is this. When the Israelites stopped following Jehovah, they always ended up with a mess. Every time, they ended up with a mess. In chapter 3, verse 7, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. And so the anger of the Lord burned against Israelite, and he sold them into the hands of the Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. In verse 12, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and because of this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israelites, and the Israelites were subject to him for 18 years. In Judges chapter 4, again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead, so he sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan. Again and again and again, when the Israelites stopped following Jehovah, they always ended up with a mess. How does that tie in with us today? Well, because our sin, our disobedience to God, separates us from Him. Pastor Steve talked about this separation just a few weeks ago. And it's not that when we sin, God separates himself from us, but that we separate ourselves from him. And it can be anything. I mean, whether it's if you're sleeping with someone you're not married to, or stealing on our timesheet at work, or talking about someone behind their back, or cheating on our taxes, it doesn't matter what it is. That disobedience puts us in the same place as Adam and Eve when they first rebelled against God. Shame. Distance. Separation. And God hadn't left Adam and Eve. He came looking for them. Where are you? And where are they? They're hiding. They're hiding. God hasn't left us. We usually go into hiding from Him. Because there's something happens. When we are obedient to God, we place ourselves underneath the umbrella of His protection. Israel, in the time of Moses and in the time of Joshua, continued to live under the protection of the Almighty God because they were obedient most of the time to His commands. Now, when they weren't, even in the time of Moses and of Joshua, what happened? Problems. So when we sin, when we're disobedient to God, we take ourselves out from under the covering of His protection. We willfully remove ourselves from underneath His umbrella. Now, this doesn't mean that if we're obedient to God, everything is going to go perfectly. There will still be difficult times, that's for sure. But what God did promise is that when we're obedient to Him, He will give us exactly what we need to make it through the difficult times that are not of our own doing. There's a difference there. Do you see that? There's a difference between struggles and trials that come that are not of our own doing and between us walking out from underneath the umbrella of God's covering. And Israel continued over and over to walk out from underneath the covering of God's protection, from underneath his umbrella. However, this is point number two. When the Israelites cried out to God, he delivered them. When the Israelites cried out to God, every time, he delivered them. And just as often as it says, and Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as often it says, again, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer. Amen? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's God talking. And he's talking to King Solomon as he's consecrating the temple. And I want to read you a little bit of what comes after that, because this is really important. Because it's really important that we learn to see the consistency of what happens through the Bible. In that same chapter, God tells Solomon, if you walk before me faithfully, as David your father did, and do all I command, and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne, as I covenanted with David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel. But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I've given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. I'll make it a byword and an object of ridicule among all the peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. And all who pass by will be appalled and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this people? And people will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord their God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why he brought all this disaster upon them. Cause and effect. And it goes back to that little phrase I told you about before. Unless the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, we will never change. So when we pull ourselves out of the umbrella of God's protection, A, we open ourselves to all kinds of mess that we would never have had under the umbrella. And then God will use those things to drive us back to him, to get us to a place where the change of staying out from under the umbrella is more painful than the pain of going back to Jesus. It's important for us to turn back to Jesus. The Bible calls that repenting. There are a number of places where it gives this picture. The Bible talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you as well. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. King David said, I've hidden your word in my heart so that what? I will not sin against you. Jesus, I think, said it the best in a story that he told that really comes alongside of this. It's the story of the prodigal son. Jesus tells this parable, and he says, There's a father who has two sons. And the younger son comes to the father and says, "Hey, give me my inheritance. I want it now as opposed to when you die. I mean, I wish you would die. But because you're not dead yet, can you just give it to me now?" And the father says, "I will give it to you." And the son takes that and he walks out from under the umbrella and throws it all away. And when it's all gone, the son finds himself with the pigs. He's got nothing left, and all that's left is what the pigs are eating. And he's at that place where the pain of change, or the pain of staying the same, is more painful than the pain of changing. And he says, "I'll go back to my father, and I'll ask him just to, I'll plead with him and ask him to make me one of the servants, because that's better than this." And he turns and he heads home. The Bible, and Jesus says, while he's a long way off, the father sees him. And what does he do? He runs to him and he wraps his arms around him and he brings him home. And he says, "Get a fine robe for him. Let's get some better clothes on him. Let's get new sandals for his feet. And let's throw a party for him because the son that was lost has now been found." Jesus is telling the story of the Israelites, of these people, this cause and effect of these people who had walked out from underneath the umbrella and made a mess of things. But then when they cried back out to him, when they cried back out to God, he rescued them and brought them back in. And God wants to do the same for you and me today. No matter what you have done, no matter where you have come from, no matter how bad you have made a mess of it, he wants to run to you today. He wants you to cry out to him, and he wants to wrap his arms around you and restore you and deliver you and to set you free. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up this morning. And we're not quite done yet. I'll have a couple takeaways for you in just a minute. But what I'd like us to do is I'd like us to spend the next few minutes considering this cause and effect. And I'd like you to spend some time, whether it's in your seat or whether you want to come to the front here and kneel, whether you want to do this while you're singing or whether you just want to be still, but consider this cause and effect. And what choices have you made that have caused you to step out from underneath the umbrella? And as God's Spirit nudges you and says, "Hey, here's one. Hey, here's another one." They might come from the Ten Commandments that we've talked about over the last couple weeks. Then this is an opportunity for you to turn and cry out to God and to allow him to run and wrap his arms around you and to be your deliverer, just as he was the deliverer for Israel when they turned and cried back out to him. So as Leilani leads, let's be receptive to God's Spirit, to allowing him to speak to us. And let's be willing to turn back to Jesus and allow him to carry those burdens. The hope that we have comes from Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. You see, God loved us so much that he sent his only Son so that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but would have everlasting life. because God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus. Jesus. I think it's great that I told you at the beginning I wanted you to leave with this. To leave knowing that no matter what you have done, that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing that you have done can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. He has already won the battle. He has already paid the price. He has already done everything that is necessary to redeem and restore and to save you. Now, every cause has an effect. And that doesn't mean that God takes away all of the effects. But it means that he restores us to relationship with him and gives us everything that we need to work through those things. And there are three keys, I think, three things I want you to write down and take away with you to gaining and keeping spiritual freedom. And the first is this: to turn to Jesus, to repent. Sometimes this is going to need to happen every day. Sometimes it's going to need to happen multiple times a day as we continue in this process of becoming more like who God created us to be. It's the process that we call sanctification. There's a good big word for you. Because we're not finished until the day we die and go to be with him in glory. But we have to learn to turn to Jesus. And secondly, we got to be baptized. We got to be baptized. In fact, we have scheduled a time for baptisms, which we haven't done in a while. If you have not been baptized, one of the best ways that you can cement your relationship with Jesus is by being obedient to him through baptism. If you want to know more about that, I would love to talk with you about that. You can talk with Pastor Scott, Pastor Matt. Any one of the pastors would be able to work with you through that. And the third is this: to read and memorize the Bible. I cannot stress to you how important this is. I said this verse earlier, King David saying, "I've hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you." The Apostle Paul talks about God's word being living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's our weapon for fighting. In this battle that we have against our flesh and our carnal nature and against the devil, we can put on all the armor that we want and still get knocked around. If we want to have victory, we have to start fighting back. Read and memorize the Bible. They're important. So how do I stay under the umbrella? Turn to Jesus. If you haven't been baptized, be baptized. And then continue to walk with him by staying in his word, the Bible, reading it and memorizing it. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to close our service. If you want to stick around and pray, we would welcome you to do that. Our prayer team, I'll ask to be at the front to pray with you. Leilani and the band will continue to lead in some worship. We don't want to leave anybody to leave burdened. If you want to stay and pray with some people in the area that you're sitting, that is fine as well. If you've got questions about what it means to follow Jesus, I would love to talk to you about that. If you've come this morning to this place and God's been pulling on your heart and you're realizing, you want to know what? This turning to Jesus thing, I've not ever done that before. And I think today is a good day to do it. Come find me after the service. I'll be right up here at the front and we can talk through that, what that looks like together. But as you go from this place, put your focus on Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and bring you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Have a great week. We'll see you guys next Sunday.